This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
I know in the NFL, most compelling often turns into the most complaining. Whatever outrage there was about the NFL MVP completely misses me. I thought some of the shots taken at Josh Allen are ridiculous, and I think people missed the number one story about how awesome it was to have an NFL MVP race that was not decided. It was literally a wire-to-wire, probably the closest NFL MVP vote we've had in a minute.
Yeah, it was fun. Lamar had the better statistical season. There's no debating that one. I don't think anyone can really even try to, if you put up the numbers, it's not even close.
I actually think it's closer than you realize.
Okay, explain.
Total touchdowns, 45 to 41. QBR is 77.2 to 77.3. Josh gets the slight edge there. The PFF grades, in terms of, qualifying quarterbacks? So quarterbacks who actually should have been voted on, guys have played 80% of snaps or more. Lamar was one and Josh was three. And then Josh's team won more. And I think contextually, I think it's fair to say more was needed out of Josh to get to 13 wins than Lamar, who played with Derrick Henry, who on almost any other team might have might have been a serious NFL MVP candidate himself.
Yeah, there was a 20-point difference in the passer rating. There were some other numbers that there were some pretty big gaps between the two, but that's not the point. The point is that I had no problem with Josh Allen getting the award. And I like the idea that 20 years from now, we'll look at this and say, did Josh Allen deserve an MVP this year? Yeah, you can make a case and an argument for it. And it did feel like that was the reason why he ultimately did get the award. Now, there's a reason why Lamar Jackson got the AP award and got the Offensive Player of the Year and All-Pro selection. And that's because he did have a better season than Josh Allen. But Josh Allen was the actual most valuable player to his team. And that's what I like that they accounted for there. It's just a weird spot where you can make an argument that one had a much better season than the other, but the other actually meant more to its team's success, i.e. the people that they played with. You know, Lamar Jackson playing with the running game that he had with Derrick Henry and playing with all the weapons that he had was a much different situation than what Josh Allen had, where he made everyone around him better, didn't have a bunch of great wide receivers, and then had James Cook obviously go off to the races.
I just think this idea that it's disrespectful to Lamar is disrespectful to both quarterbacks. I also think the idea that it's purely a statistical award, I like the fact that that's not just what this year is about. Because I think...
Right, I mean, yeah, Josh Allen, if you actually look at his by the numbers, and I'll throw passing yards in there, because passing yards do matter in the equation, they read similar to what Aaron Rodgers did this season than they do anything else. Like, if you want to go through the straight line of it all, the 28 passing touchdowns, 3,800 yards, like, that's Aaron Rodgers. What makes it so remarkable is that they fought through that in the narrative, and just the idea that Josh Allen did mean the most to the Bills and how the Bills were able to have success.
I just think it's funny that people say 28 passing touchdowns and forget that Josh had 13 rushing touchdowns. Like,
No, I mean, people put that in the equation. I think in the side-by-side graphics, a lot of people had the total touchdowns in there. And Josh Allen having as many rushing touchdowns as just about anybody in the NFL. I mean, it's wildly impressive.
I think it's a really good thing for the NFL that we had two quarterbacks. And you could have thrown Saquon into that conversation. I would not have been upset in the least if he had actually won the NFL MVP.
Yeah.
But we've just reduced this to whenever it becomes... I completely push back on this is a career achievement award. It's the Steve Nash thing. It's not Steve Nash winning an NBA MVP. It really isn't. Josh Allen, absolutely. You can tell
me. Nash won two. That was the problem.
He shouldn't have won one. He shouldn't have won any. He was a really good player. He had no business being in that echelon. Josh Allen does. Every year, Josh Allen is one of the four or five best quarterbacks in the NFL. And so Steve Nash was never one of the five best players in the NBA.
No one's arguing that.
And so, but I think that point that people have kind of made it like it's some sort of paper tiger. I think what made this season so, I'll dare use the word iconic, is that Mahomes had a mid-season, and we still had, I mean, and honestly, you could throw Joe Burrow in there. Like, I think we need to start opening up the conversation on MVP because the idea it's even consolidated to five people is ridiculous.
No, that's what's nice about Josh winning this is that it really got to the heart of who was valuable to their team, more so than just, hey, he threw for the most yards, threw for the most touchdowns, and then we move from there. Now, I do think in the Lamar camp, and I'm not making the argument for Lamar, if I had a vote, it would have gone to Josh Allen, but... In the Lamar side of things, I think the idea that Lamar did beat him up in the regular season game they played each other does matter in that equation as well.
I actually wish they just would stop doing it for just the regular season. I really, and I know that this might skew it towards people who make the postseason. Good. There should be a reward for making the postseason.
I know. I've gone back and forth on this for a million years because, like, the worry you have there is that just then whoever makes it to the Super Bowl and wins the Super Bowl is then going to ergo also win the league MVP award.
Yeah. Well, okay. But here's the thing. That probably more often than not ends up being the right thing now, right? Because whoever's the starting quarterback for the Super Bowl winning team ends up being the best player in the NFL that year. So, like, it does skew it, but, like, if we're already skewing it. Like, Joe Burrow was 9-8 and was not a serious MVP candidate. Myles Garrett was 3-14. Yeah, he came in third. But, guys, the voting odds had him as, what, the fifth most likely guy to win?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not upset if they made Patrick Mahomes the MVP for three straight years here.
Yeah, so, well, and like
I'm not upset by that.
Like, I do think, like, another, and listen, I know I didn't vote, so I'm not sullying myself with saying this.
You didn't have a vote.
Lamar and what he does in the postseason versus what Josh does in the postseason, man, if that doesn't paint an even more accurate picture about player value, and I think it's interesting because now that Josh won the NFL MVP but lost in the AFC title game, people are being like, why aren't we holding him to a higher standard like we do Lamar? Because one guy is consistently elite in the postseason, and his team lets him down. And the other guy, well, Lamar had a couple turnovers this year. The other guy has enough mistakes in the postseason, you can almost point to him as a big part of why they lost.
No, Lamar's been an unmitigated disaster in the postseason. Only games he has double-digit turnovers is in the postseason. That's not a like a hyperbole or anything. That's fact.
And listen, I want to circle back on this.
Multi-turnover game he had was in the postseason.
Maybe it sounds like I'm just bleeping all over Lamar. I would have been happy if that guy had won a Super Bowl in spite of it coming at the expense of the Ravens winning one. Like, I really like Lamar, which is hard. Like, I don't like Baltimore Ravens. I like Calais Campbell. Like the hell out of that guy, but that's because I liked him before he was a Raven. I like Kevin Zeitler because he was here, and then he ended up in New York and somehow ended up in Baltimore. I don't like Baltimore Ravens. I like Lamar a lot. I just think the whole conversation's about quarterbacks and the statistics and throwing everything together. I just think the conversation on a big level, not you and me, on a big level has never been dumber or more tedious and more disrespectful to these guys. If they had named Lamar the third-time MVP, I would have been like, damn, he had a great year. If they had named Josh, I would have, damn, he had a hell of a year. If they had named Joe, I would have been like, you know what? Honestly, he's the only reason they got to 9-8. That's a hell of a quarterback. I get it.
Right, but we had this conversation in the NBA with Nikola Jokic. Jokic won for the third time, and the reason why no one wanted to give him a third MVP is because that puts you in Larry Bird territory. And I felt like that's kind of what played out here this year as well. You didn't want to give Lamar Jackson the MVP, not based off of any other reason outside of that would be his third. And again, he's sitting in very, very rarefied air, and his accomplishments don't match up from a postseason standpoint what a three-time MVP winner normally would have.
216-474-0092. Are you outraged?
I think more people just got mad at the idea that the AP finally put the voters' names out there and what their ballots were.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It's kind of dirty pool, if you're being honest.
No, that's we need more transparency.
No,
if you're gonna,
I like that, but you got to tell them ahead of time that it's going to happen.
If you want to vote, if you want to say,
now they know.
Well, okay, but if you want to vote and you want to say, you should be prepared to have your name publicized.
You should. But they also probably should have told him that was going to happen ahead of time.
Is it really that outrageous that Josh Allen won the NFL MVP over Lamar? Matt and Willoughby. Matt, I know you want to talk about Nick Chubb as part of the Browns rebuild. What you got for us?
Just to go with the MVP talk for a minute, we really, as a public, need to know the absolute definitions of what we're MVPs of. I mean, if you take a guy off a team and they're garbage, I think really that, I mean, that's kind of the Joe Burrow thing, right? You remove him from that team. He's the most valuable player on their team. And you kind of look at it, but his record sucked. So it's like, how do we – the MVP always kind of has to be on that winning team, but if you remove them from a bad team, how much worse are they?
I will say, though, just real quick before we get to your Nick Chubb point, I think people realize there are certain things I think we trivialize how hard they are. Like being an NFL official, I think it's actually a lot harder than we give them credit for. I think in terms of nailing down a definition for an NFL MVP, I think the beauty of it – is that there's some versatility depending on what year it is. Like I kind of think what I was saying is we're too restrictive. Like we should add Saquon into the mix. We should add Joe Burrow. I think we need to have a more flexible definition, even if that might lead to I don't want to say more wonky results, but more a variety of more outcomes.
Right, but even with MVP, it's always the face of a team, face of, you know, the NFL. The quarterback race, it's just kind of how it's always been. But to talk about Nick Chubb and the Browns and all that, overall, I don't think it's a player's thing or anything like that. Obviously, if Myles Garrett is this pillar stone that, you know, that we have, and he's involved in all these conversations and all that, he's obviously hearing something he doesn't like. And for people to call him an idiot and all that, you're like, you know, I just don't understand. If the guy needs to go, he knows more than anybody, right? He's the last, the, you know, him, Nick, Denzel, all these guys that have been extended, they've been around it the longest. They're tired of it. I get it. You know, I mean, not even talking as a fan, just as a football fan, you know, not just a Browns fan. It's, I don't blame them. And then really, you know, until Jerry Haslam moves out of there, you know, it's a tough organization to kind of be here. And to blame Barry or blame Stefanski, they're just trying to keep their jobs like the rest of them. You know, you can't fire the players. You know, that's the coaches and the GMs are the first to go. Matt. But I'm going to leave you guys with that, and I'm just going to walk off. Well, first-time caller, appreciate it. I'll talk to you guys later.
Appreciate you, Matt. Thank you, buddy. Well, they actually do fire players all the time, and that's kind of at the heart of I just never have a problem with a player saying, I don't want to be here anymore, if they've earned it. Like if when David Njoku, because people have pointed that, and I think we've talked about this too, when David Njoku asked for a trade, was that 4 years ago? David hadn't earned it. I mean, David hadn't even gotten a second contract yet. David had some...
No, but he got put in the doghouse by Freddie Kitchens, was just angry about it. That's really the impetus of that.
So, like, Miles, to me, and once you get 8 years in, and you get, 105 sacks in, and a defensive player of the year, and you've been such a reason why they've been so good, if a team comes to you and says, hey, we're really jazzed about this idea, and here's the quarterback, if you don't believe in that, okay. Like, teams can fire. If Miles has a bad year next year and they can save $25 million next year, they're going to do it. And so Miles, it's not a firing, but Miles politely saying, I'd like to handle this the right way. I don't believe in the plan anymore. And then for them to, I think, force his hand and make him go public, that feels borderline disrespectful to me for a guy who one day is going to go into Hall of Fame and who a fair of us still own jerseys on and still have a lot of love for. 216-474-0092. We're going to continue on with this. Andy, Barry, David, Travis, you guys stick there. More on the Browns rebuild. And there was something. We talked, there's a name you're going to love. There's a name you're going to hate. I think we got to lower our standards, and I think it's okay that we will. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. in my pantry when we moved out of Manaway. And Vanessa's like, is this still good? I'm like, no.
No, that hasn't been good for a while.
Like, we've outlived that cereal. That's a big win. But I do think, like, the Nick Chubb thing is symptomatic for me of the entire conversation. Like, I don't think it's the worst thing to change your expectations for the Browns. I also don't think it's the worst thing if that means we lower our standards in one very specific way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was hearing Eli Manning. Listen to this polished job that Eli Manning did for former Giants quarterback Daniel Jones, who's going to be a free agent on Yahoo Sports.
I think Daniel has all the tools. He's a great teammate. He works really hard. He does all the right things. It's just, sometimes with quarterbacks, just being in the right circumstances.
All right, stop it there.
Right, you know,
because everything else he says doesn't matter. Anytime you start with, what do you think about Daniel Jones? I mean, he's got everything you need. He's a great teammate. He's a great leader. You just told me he's Bubkiss on the field. But, like, you know, how hard in the paint have I gone for if you bring Daniel Jones here, I'm going to lose my mind.
You know what the funny part about that clip actually is the idea that Daniel Jones has a higher career passer rating than Eli Manning. I think Eli Manning is like 66th all time, and Daniel Jones is like 65th or something.
I mean, they're elite. But no, like,
it's kind of sad.
You know how much every time
everyone hates Daniel Jones, like, yes.
But me more so than other people.
Everyone thinks he stinks.
It's more the idea of him coming here has really bummed me out. Now, okay, roll him out there. See what you can do.
So if you're going to lose games and you're going to go down this road, you're right. The quarterback spot doesn't necessarily matter for next year. You can throw anybody out there.
Get Mac Jones. Get Macaroni Bologna.
Well, you love Mac Jones, and I've never quite figured out why you like Mac Jones.
Because I think Mac Jones at his zenith was better than Daniel Jones. Is that...
Well, if we're going to use Daniel Jones as the starting line, we're going to have a lot of quarterbacks we like more than that. But it won't matter is the point.
Well, so I think now I'm going to go full down the McCorkle Jones road here.
Okay.
I kind of think he's been another quarterback that suffered from... Like Daniel Jones has had some instability around him. He had Brian Daboll, and he had... Who was the schmuck before? Joe Judge. He did have two head coaches. That's not like Baker Mayfield level or Sam Darnold level of dysfunction around him in his career. Mac Jones has had Belichick into every other thing that has happened to him, including going to a dysfunctional Jacksonville situation this year. I kind of do look at that as a little differently. Like, I kind of look at him as a guy who's like, all right, yeah, you sucked in New England there at the end, and he was okay in Jacksonville this year.
It was 4 years with arguably the greatest coach ever. Even though I would hate if I was the one hearing that argument, because my big thing against Belichick is I think he coasted with the idea that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time for far too long, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing. Second year in the NFL, Bill Belichick, galaxy brain, put Matt Patricia in charge of the offense. So, like, I can at least sell McCorkle Jones when he had Josh McDaniel, very good offensive coordinator, was a pretty efficient quarterback. Like, I can sell that. Daniel Jones.
Was the year he made the Pro Bowl?
Let me see. Yes, his rookie year. The only good year in the NFL. But that's where I am. Like, if this is a rebuild, throw you-know-what at the wall and see what sticks. And I think we have to be more open to that. Like, if it's a rebuild, give me McCorkle Jones or Danny Dimes over
Listen, I'm out
Cousins.
I'm out on Mac Jones just because I don't want you to call him McCorkle all day long.
Well, what if I make it? We already got Macaroni Bologna, Mac Robinson. Is there another mac and cheese thing
that
I can
Mac, that is your name. Shouldn't we? What is the best use of your name that you constantly hear? And then maybe we can adopt that.
For Mac Jones?
No. Mac Jones?
Who?
Well, his first name is Michael, so.
I'm not going to call him Mike Jones. I'm not going Mike Jones, no.
Who?
Oh, wait, McCorkle isn't his actual birth name?
It's his middle name.
Yeah, it's his middle name. By the way,
so it's Mike McCorkle Jones?
Yes.
And he ended up going with Mac. Mike's such a normal name. Why did he abandon Mike?
Probably because he was old enough that when the Mike Jones who thing came out, he was old enough.
Well, Mike Jones with the tackle in the Super Bowl, also pretty big in NFL history.
Yeah, I don't think that was it. No,
you're probably not taking over that.
The cultural significance of Mike Jones, who Mike Jones, I think that might. And Mac is
a. Yeah, but Mike Jones having a game-winning tackle in a Super Bowl from an NFL perspective.
What
he's never going to be. It was the Rams. It was the Rams 2000.
Yeah.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Mac Jones, who was born in 1998.
Yeah, but from an NFL historical standpoint, you're never going to hit higher.
Why does 5-year-old Mike Jones care about that if when he's choosing to be called Mike or McCorkle? Also, what do you have against McCorkle?
McCorkle's an ugly name.
You're half Irish. You can't do that. Or you're a quarter Irish. You can't do that. McCorkle's an Irish thing.
Max saying no.
McCorkle isn't an Irish thing?
No, it's just not a good name.
That's how I look at it.
Okay, that's anti-Irish, and I won't allow it.
I've never met a McCorkle. I wish I had frame of reference for McCorkle. I got no frame of reference for McCorkle.
I'm 43% Irish, and I find that very offensive, Mac. Not McCorkle.
You're whatever percentage is just a little bit higher than the Rooney family.
Oh, yeah. I definitely am.
Irish you are.
They're like 37%. I'm 43%. So Ireland's Browns countries.
McCorkle Rooney, as I like to call him.
McCorkle Rooney. Sounds like the nerdiest white guy dance ever.
Oh, yeah, because McCorkle Jones sounds anything but that.
He's doing the McCorkle Rooney. Ladies, look out. 216.
Where's Booker T?
474.
It's just not a trustworthy name, McCorkle. I mean a McCorkle, and that's shifty. Don't love it.
I don't think you should say that as an Irish person.
I don't think I've ever met a McCorkle. I think I'm in safe harbor here.
Maybe
I think
you
I'm
a McCorkle.
I'm in pretty good. If we have a McCorkle in the listening audience, you call in right now. I think we're pretty comfortable with the McCorkles out there.
I don't think you are. Look at this. I'm just going to
do the name.
This.
I'm going to do the name database now.
Chantel McCorkle. That was an American fraudster. Okay, not a great start.
Here we go.
McCorkle Jones, it's her quarterback fraudster.
Let's see. Oh, there's, no. Good God, none of these are great. There's Paul McCorkle, an American politician. Okay.
Give me more, fat man.
Not going to finish that one off.
By the way, did you know?
McCorkle, she's an American jazz singer. Who doesn't love jazz?
Did you know that McCorkle's origin actually comes from Son of Cook?
So that is...
Sorry, I said that Irish. Wrong. Son of Crook. Crook.
Okay, well, now I don't know where to go with this. I think you've led us to a bridge to nowhere. Origin. All right, anybody know how to... Scottish and Irish origin.
No, it's definitely is Irish. You got that part right.
Yeah, well, we got something right. You know, Travis, you've been waiting a while, and we're going to go to you. Travis and Oberlin, welcome to the show.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-timer as well.
Well, I appreciate you. Do you know any McCorkles?
No. I know some McNeils, but no McCorkles.
Okay, not yet. We'll get you there one day.
Thank you. Well, hey, I wanted to get your thoughts on the following scenario. And this involves both plans for Miles and for Nick Chubb. And Nick, this goes back to your point about respecting the player, respecting yourself, respecting the logic. Part of the logic being this is the high water mark we have for Miles' trade value. So the scenario would be to go ahead and trade Miles for as many first-round picks as you can get, pick up Abdul Carter in the first round this year, use the Miles picks to get a top-flight QB in next year's draft, keep Chubb, the heart and soul of the team, but use the second-round draft for this year to get a new running back. It's a stocked draft class of running backs. And then sign a quality veteran QB. I'm not opposed to Kirk Cousins for a one-year bridge. Develop the outside running game next year again and just hope for the following year.
So I like the choose-your-own-adventure path we took there. If they trade Miles, I'm greedy. I want it all. All right. You got first? That's cute. You got any seconds? That's cute. You got any players that I might want to take, not named McCorkle? That's cute. Like, I want the kind of draft package and total package for Miles that is just,
easy now.
Talking downtown, just, I mean, otherworldly. So that kind of fits into what you're saying, but, like, I think the number one thing that you said that I agree with, though, Travis, is I'm very comfortable waiting on quarterback till 2026. And trying to build up your team around the quarterback. Now, I do think trading out of two also would make sense if you trade Miles just to get as many picks as you can for next year.
All right. And who would you pick in the first round this year?
All right, so I really like Mason Graham. Also, depending on how far you trade down, James Pierce, the edge rusher out of Tennessee, I think he has the quickest first step in college football out of all the pass rushers this year. Travis, we got to run, buddy. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
There's a lot of steps to that. It's really good.
It was a lot. That's the part of the problem with the conversation, it goes so many different directions.
Actually, that's what kind of makes it the most fun if they do rebuild. Like, your wheel of possibilities the last 3 or 4 years has been pretty minute, and it has required a lot of ingenuity from Andrew Berry, and I think he has operated somewhat well in that space with deals for like Za'Darius and Amari and stuff like that. But if you do crack this egg open, you can go a lot of different ways with your draft this year, understanding it's not all about this year. That this is supposed to be the bridge to 2026 and bridge to your long-term quarterback option.
Yeah, and we'll see if Andrew Berry would get to make those other selections.
All right, let's go real quick here with David. David, welcome to the show there.
Hey, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. I mean this with peace and love, as Ringo Starr used to say. But I got to tell you, Nick, that I think you're a priss. Because
a what?
And I'm just saying, because the position is that I love Garrett. I mean, he's incredible. But at the same time, he's under contract for 2 years. He's a captain for the position. And, I mean, he comes out and says that kind of stuff. I mean, that's just a reflection. It's just a poor reflection of his ability to be a captain for the team.
Isn't it a poor reflection of the people they've put in charge of the team as well, namely the head coach and the GM?
No, because look at Denzel Ward. Denzel Ward said, and I understand what he said initially, but then someone talked to him. There's no doubt about that. But he's a captain, and he backed off and said, we're going to do what we're going to do.
Denzel also said that if they traded the Miles, he might have to reexamine his own situation.
But after that, according to Phelps this afternoon, and I listen to you guys all the time,
he
backed off of that and totally said a different deal and said that, we need to, and he was much more supportive of going forward, as well as Njoku. And I'm just saying that, he signed the contract. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I think the Browns should say, if we love, him, and if he wants to leave, then let me tell you, teams, if you want him, then you give us bids and we'll look at it, but he's not leaving because he's under contract. And unless it meets our standard, we're not giving him up.
All right, real quick here. I'm not, because you got a good thought train going along here. There's only one reason why I think I might have a problem being called a priss, and that's part of the definition here is excessively proper. How dare you? I am very improper, sir.
Let me tell you, so am I, and that's.
I think he was focused on the affectionately dainty part of the.
I'm telling you that because we've been around a long time. I'm 63, so I'm good with calling you a priss because I'm sure that I am too. So it's not a big deal.
David, have a good weekend, buddy. Appreciate you.
I love you, man. You take care. Bye.
You too.
I'd call you a lot of things. I don't think priss is one of them.
Yeah, a prim. I don't think I'm prim. What was the affectionately dainty?
Affectionately dainty.
I don't think anybody who's ever watched me walk or
never
run,
never called you dainty,
or
at
just
all.
Move in general, has ever called me. That. He's gonna see my hand with a cortado in it.
I think David was pretty.
I look huge.
Yeah. Well, that's. I mean, you're doing the Kenny Pickett trick.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
he's giving the mini
I was
Diet
like,
Cokes.
Who's the giant
Make
over
sure
there?
His hands seem big.
It's just a small espresso here. Don't get too excited.
Oh, it's for my birthday.
It's well done. Am I a priss? 216-474-0092. In case we missed it, rounds out the show in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.